Okay, I'm back. Yes.
Okay. We were discussing the kasha that the Rishonim brought up on all of the inspiring masim of our Gemara, of all these Amoraim, or three, that's a lot, who were Moser Nefesh to avoid falling into Avera, which is very inspiring and admirable. The question is it halachic? So the question that everyone asks is, oh, it's not Yehor Gal Yavor. So we only discussed one answer last time, right? Which is the answer of the Ramban and the Ritva and others, right? Which that is, what they said basically, Boel Aramis is Yehor Gal Yavor. I'm not going to repeat everything we said last time, but remember the Ritva thought only for Hesia, and he made it okay to for Hesia. The Ramban thought even Betzina, we explained why. To the best of our ability. Okay, so maybe it is Arayus and Yehor Gal Yavor, and then that solves the problem. However, many Rishonim did not want to accept this conclusion. For example, the Baal Hamor, now I'm really not getting into this sugya, because this is totally not our sugya. The Ramban started in the context of Achloksin, him and Achloksin, the Ramban and the Baal Hamor, about whether Gili Arayus and Yehor Gal Yavor, if the intention of the of the coercer is for hanas atzon and not to make you violate your religion. The Baal Hamor says there's no Yehor Gal Yavor if the intention of that person is not anti-religious, it's just for hana. So the Ramban says, okay, well, what a narsuya. Narsuya doesn't seem like matronisa, we're trying to violate anyone's religion. As a matter of fact, one of them said, if I had known you were so religious, I wouldn't have bothered. It's clear that she wasn't trying to do against his religion. She just was considered religion neutral and wanted to have a taifa. So clearly it was Hanas Atzman. So that's how it gets started. So the Ramban asks on the Baal Hamor, how could you say there's no Yehor Gal Yavor if it's with their own Hana? In this case, Matronisa was her own Hana and it was Yehor Gal Yavor. So the Shilta Giborim over there in Sanhedrin answers, I don't have it in front of me, but answers on behalf of the Baal Hamor. What is the answer on behalf of the Baal Hamor? That Taka Arsugya is not Yehor Gal Yavor. If Arsugya is not Yehor Gal Yavor, then how do you explain their behavior? So what is the Shilta Giborim answer? If it's not Yehor Gal Yavor, how do you explain their behavior? So he says, he gives two answers. His first answer is, and this is the same as the first answer of the Me'iri, who we have on our sheet, just in different words. We'll read it from the Me'iri. Says the Me'iri in Sanhedrin, that's the Baal Hamor. That was a midas chasidus, says the Meiri. That was not Yehor Gal Yavor at all. That was just a midas chasidus. And that's what the Shilta Giborim also says. It's a midas chasidus to sacrifice for Kiddush Hashem. So says the Meiri in his first answer, right? And the Shilta Giborim. In their first answer, they say it was Midas Chasidus. Tak, it wasn't Yehor Gal Yavor, but it was Midas Chasidus. It was Midas Chasidus to do so. Okay, the big chiddush here is that it's mutter to die for Midas Chasidus. This, as we know, is a very big machlokes. Right, the Rambam famously says in Hilchos Sodei Torah, anytime the halacha is Yavor Vel Yehori, that you should not die, if you sacrifice your life anyway, you are mischayiv the nafsho, you're a murderer, you have no right, just like you have no right to do an avera when you're supposed to give up your life, you have no right to give up your life when you're supposed to do an avera. There's no optional giving up of life. If the halacha is that it's not worth giving up your life, then you're not allowed to give up your life. That's the sheet of the Rambam there. And the Kesef Mishnah says on the side already that oh, there are many who argue with him. The let's just see who argues here. Here we have answer number two.
So, answer number two leads us to a
very, very famous machlokas
of, can you voluntarily be moser nefesh in a case of yavor v'al yehareg? I think I have a tosofer
on the Makor sheet. Yes, I wrote the opposite on the Makor sheet, but hopefully everyone understood what I meant. Thank you. Can you voluntarily be moser nefesh? So here's where the Meiri, and the Meiri is even going further, saying maybe it's not a case where you threaten it with death at all, but nonetheless, he was going to do the Aveira. The Meiri and the Shulte Gibarim says, yes, you can voluntarily be moser nefesh, even in the case of Yavar v'al Yehareg, and they're not l'chora, and they're not the only ones who say that. This is famous as a sheet of Tosos in the Russian Avodah Zarah. I think I only put on the Armar Makomos Tosos in Avodah Zarah, but the Rush is just on the same Gemara, says the exact same thing. So, you know, as often happens with the Russian Tosos, the Tosos in Avodah Zarah says very famously that he says at the end here, V'imrotza lahachmeril atzmo filu b'shar mitzvos rashai. Right, you're allowed to, and allowed to, it sounds like Midas Hasidus, perhaps. And how does he know? Like Rav Arba Zim and the Yerushalmi, who was with a certain guy, and the guy says, eat an avail or else I'll kill you. And he says, if you want to kill me, kill me. And he voluntarily gave up his life. Here it's actually not so pashut, he only goes part of the Yerushalmi. Yeah. At the end of the Yerushalmi, says, if he had known the halacha, maybe he wouldn't have done that, right. So it's not so pashut. But at least Tosos thinks that, no, it means that one is allowed to voluntarily give up your life. So here we have the Meiri and the Shote Giborim, and more famously, the Tosos and the Rush in Avodah Zarah. You take my word for it. The Rush on the same Gemara says the same thing, or you can look it up in a big Maseches Avodah Zarah. Say yes. They're, and that's even okay. The Midas Chasidus, you're allowed to violate in order to save your life. And the Kesef Mishnah says Rabban hold that way, right? It says Rabban, many people disagreed with this Rambam, without necessarily quoting who all of them are, but right, we already saw many people. I'm sure you could add many more if you went through all the Rishonim collected, especially among the Rishonim Ashkenaz. However, the Rambam is very unfortunate. The Rambam is very harsh. He says you're Meschayiv B'Nafsho. And this Ramban in the Milchamos that we started with says not. What does the Ramban say? He says, according to me, to her Rel Yavor. That's his explanation for our sugya. Right? According to me, to her Rel Yavor. According to you, Balamor, it's not your Rel Yavor. What's pshat? And he knows that the Balamor could defend himself by saying that it's a Midas Chasidus Lefnim Yishuras Hadin. He says, and don't tell me it's a Midas Chasidus to give up your life even for a small Aveira. Because, what's the Ramban's famous proof? What's the Ramban's famous proof? That there's no way that it's a Midas Chasidus or a mitzvah or a reshus or an option to, or what some holy people might do, to give up your life in the case of Yavar Del Yehareg. What's the Ramban's famous proof?
Esther.
No. Esther's complicated. It needs interpretation, etc. The Ramban's famous proof is, says, you ever heard someone say there's a Midas Chasidus not to be Mechal Shabbos to save a sick person? You heard, he says, you really think it's optional to give up your life to avoid an Aveira? He says, really? Really? You ever heard someone say, well, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to drive someone to the hospital if they have a heart attack. But you know what? Then you should just die and not be Mechal Shabbos. What? He says, that's ridiculous. He says, look at all the Rishas. No one ever said that you should let the guy die in Shabbos instead of driving him to the hospital.
Exactly.
So therefore, he says, what do we see from this? We see from this that, of course, there's no option to give up your life to save yourself from Aveira. And that is a very strong proof, and we're going to have to deal with this proof. Right? What's the Ramban's proof? The Ramban's proof is that, obviously, it is usher to let's
Here's an example. For a chole to be moser nefesh and not mechal Shabbos, to be moser nefesh, to avoid chilul Shabbos, right? Everyone knows that, right? Someone says,
oh, it's Yom Kippur, right?
This is the fight rabbis always have with some old-fashioned people, right? They're really in case of sakana, and they don't want to eat on Yom Kippur, and the rabbi has to tell them, no, that's not the halacha. It's very nice that you have this feeling. But the halacha tells us that it's aser to fast on Yom Kippur, Pikuach Nefesh, and it's aser to not take, go in the ambulance and whatever, Pikuach Nefesh. So what do we see from here? We see from here there's no option of giving up your life, Pikuach Nefesh. Okay. Seems like a Kanami. If someone's sick, they can't do Gila Rice or Zarin Shvichas Damim. But if we're talking about Shara Vigros, Yavar Vyayamari, okay, seems like a good proof. How do the other Rishonim get out of this proof? So one answer, this is very radical, there's this Shitas Yachid, which seems to me very peculiar. In the Lechem Shemayim of Rav Yaakov Emden. The Lechem Shemayim of Rav Yaakov Emden is a parish of Mishnais. And he has a parish in the Mishnah in Brachos. Everyone remember the beginning of Brachos? Right? The Machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai about how to say Kriya Shema. Right? Beis Shammai says, Rishachu Gumechi, you have to stand up in the morning and lie down at night. And what is very tarful? And Beis Hillel says, however. Yeah. What is very tarful? It says, once I was walking on the road, and I lie down to say Kriya Shema because of Beis Shammai. So it was also dark outside, right? So it was like not such a pasha time to be on the road, especially if you're lying down. So he can't ask me to list him. And it was like, I was almost killed by the bandits. And what did the Chacham say to him? Magia lecha, right? Because you violated Beis Hillel and did like Beis Shammai. So Yaakov Emden has a crazy diuk. What's his diuk? Magia lecha! Because you violated Beis Hillel and did like Beis Shammai. Sounds like, what was wrong with what he did? What was wrong with what he did was that he went like Beis Shammai and said Beis Hillel. But let's say the halacha really was you have to lie down. Right? Then what he did would be okay. He was putting himself in sakana because of the listim. Right? So the only criticism that he followed Beis Shammai, the fact that he put it, risked his life to say Kriya Shema is not a criticism. Right? What do you mean by that? Shouldn't they have criticized him regardless of Beis Hillel Beis Shammai? Say, so, why are you risking your life for Kriya Shema? Mm-hmm. So, okay, there are many other ways to understand this Mishnah. Maybe he wasn't really risking his life, it just worked out, in an unpredictable fashion, whatever the case may be. But that's what he says. He says that, not only that, he says, Misha ain't lo chassid, ain't lo achmat, zakana bavardeh. Someone who's not a chassid, meaning a pious person, should not endanger himself just to do a mitzvah saseh, right? She ain't chova likonis filosofis, zakana gilakai mitzvah saseh, she'ef shalakai makaka. There's no chova to get zakana to do mitzvah saseh, especially since he could have said Kriya Shema later, right? I mean, eventually he would have gone to sleep, and he could have said Kriya Shema later, right? Therefore, he says, but if we really possibly Beis Shammai, lo daish lo hayo liru b'nei listim, the mitzvah idin asim, he shouldn't have been afraid of the listim, the mitzvah would have saved him, even in danger, lo hayo lo shem onesh al shehichnes atzim sakonim shem chomer v'yalma. Even if it was just a chomer, there would be no onesh for going to sakana. It's mutter to put your life in danger, even for just a chomer v'yalma. Why? Because it's mutter to put your life in danger, and it's a midas chasidus, even though it's not a chova al kol adam, right? And he brings a raya, as the Shulchan Aruch did for Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was in jail; they gave him only limited water and used it for nitiyas yadayim. They said, "Aren't you afraid that you won't have enough to drink and you'll die of thirst?" And he said, "No, I'd rather die than violate nitiyas yadayim." Okay, and there he says that there's some obscure tshuva where he found the riva was macher in a case of suffering nefashos not to eat on Yom Kippur. And everyone asks, what do you mean? Why are you not eating Yom Kippur? Don't all the rabbis tell all the old people that they should eat on Yom Kippur? So the answer is, no, because it ain't a Mishnas Chassidim, right? That, it's not Mishnas Chassidim. Chassidim should be Machmir. Now here it's a little tricky. We're not sure exactly how far to take this Yaakov Emden. Yaakov Emden is this crazy shita. The whole idea that Pikuach Nefesh, Safi Pikuach Nefesh, Yedofa Shabbos, Yom Kippur, etc.,
That's only for a regular person if he did. But a tzaddik should put his life in danger for mitzvos.
Now, here it's not so clear, like, what level of sakana is Rav Yaakov Emden talking about? Is he talking only about a far-out chance of sakana? Or is he talking even about a pikuach nefesh mamish? You know, he does use the phrase suffix, pikuach nefesh. So, I'm not sure, but maybe he could go so far as to say that the Ramban's assumption is incorrect. Maybe he would say you should put your life in danger if you are a tzaddik to avoid even a mitzvah aseh or even a small aveira. Maybe he would just deny the Ramban's presence. The Ramban says, no one ever heard someone say that you should die rather than save your life on Shabbos. Maybe the Rav Yaakov would say that. Maybe he would deny that premise. Oh, we don't find... In Shas, we find you should always run to save someone in Shabbos. Sure, you should run to save someone. Because it's not up to you to be a vater on their part. But if they don't want to be saved, then maybe they shouldn't be. So, maybe, how do you answer this proof? Right? How do you answer the Ramban's proof? Maybe, but this would be a little radical. Maybe the Yabes holds that Midas Chasidus is to give up your life for any mitzvah. Again, the reason I say maybe and not for sure is because it could be depends what the odds are. Maybe he's only talking about a small danger, but he wouldn't have said you should put your life in a big danger. Right, he means if there's a 5% chance of danger. He doesn't mean if there's a 90% chance of danger or 100% chance of danger. But maybe that would be very radical to say. The Yabbat is radical enough as it is. By the way, we don't posture that way. Don't get the wrong idea. Right? He says, a regular guy should eat on Yom Kippur if the doctor tells him he might have sakana. But a tzaddik should just say, I'll take my chances. A regular guy should go to the hospital if he thinks he might have a heart attack on Shabbos. So a tzaddik should say, I think I'll be okay. Now, how far would he take that? You know, what if it's 50% chance? What if it's 90% chance? What if it's 99% chance? I don't know. But maybe he would say the whole idea of pikuach nefesh, doche, Shabbos, and etc. is only optional for a regular guy. But a minas chasidah should always give up his life. That would be exceedingly radical. Clearly, I'm not going to say the initial Gemara and the Tosos and the Rosh and everyone held like this. Yabes, right? So this is an interesting possibility, maybe, but clearly that's not shot in all these Rishonim.
We'll see this again with Godo when the Kananim Shova Azariah, if it's not.
Yeah, okay, hold that thought.
This theory will come.
Yeah, okay, but that's different. Again. So this is maybe. What's the real answer? The real answer is that there's a fundamental difference. The Ramban was being unfair. There's a fundamental difference in the case of our Gemara and in the case of the guy who the guy said eat the Nevela, etc. And the case of saving someone on Shabbos and eating on Yom Kippur. What's the fundamental difference? He was comparing a case of, physiological, a natural danger, right? Like a holy, to a case of an anus, someone who is forcing you to do something, right? Maybe that's not a fair comparison. Maybe there's a difference between pikuach nefesh of disease and circumstances versus pikuach nefesh of a threat. Right? That his comparison. Our whole thing is when pikuach nefesh of a guy threatens you. We're not talking about pikuach nefesh of a guy sick. Right? So the Ramban said, very reasonably, pikuach nefesh. What's the difference if I'm holding a gun to your head and I tell you drive on Shabbos? Or if you have chas v'shalom, a heart attack, and you have to drive to the hospital on Shabbos. Either way, pikuach nefesh versus Shabbos. So you could say maybe not. What's the difference between those two cases, of course, in two words?
Well, I should say that doesn't the Ramban muster a proof from the back of the guy behind the fence that here he's sick from whatever love sickness or something. For disease. So there, it's something that there's no antagonist as much as it's disease. So that shows that, just showing that that's an example which is considered pikuach nefesh discussed. So you have
the okay, but that doesn't mean that they're similar for all purposes. Rafi, I'm just, you're right, but I'd rather you flipped it and said
internal
the other side of the coin. Kiddush Hashem. Right? The real answer is very pasha, is that there's two, they're not comparable. What do I mean they're not comparable? Pikuach nefesh shel choli and
pikuach nefesh shel amos, right? A coercer, right? What's the difference? They both have the rule of pikuach nefesh and v'chai b'hem. But there's one additional factor in the case of anos that's not there by makom choli. Here, there is, in the case of choli, then there is no kiddush Hashem. In the case of the anos, there's an inyan of kiddush Hashem, right? If someone, what does kiddush Hashem mean? Kiddush Hashem means standing up to your principles under, for your principles under pressure, standing up to someone who, I don't care if the guy was, standing up to someone who wants you to violate your religion. That's called Kiddush Hashem. Meaning, if a guy has a heart attack on Shabbos, all lo aleinu, and he has to go to the hospital, then that's not Kiddush Hashem for him to die and not go to the hospital. He's not standing up to his enemies. That's not Kiddush Hashem. It's not a Kiddush Hashem the guy dies and doesn't go to the hospital. Adrabah. Maybe it's a Chilul Hashem the guy, who knows, right? But you can't talk about Kiddush Hashem when there's no antagonist, when there aren't two sides. When there aren't two sides, what's Kiddush Hashem? It's your internal calculus. It's your personal Jewish business. What's your Jewish business? Is it worth going to the hospital, or is it worth staying home and keeping Shabbos?
What's the difference between Midat Chassidut and Kiddush Hashem?
So give me a second. But when there's an antagonist, right? When there's an antagonist, right? When someone tells you, I'm telling you to do X. The Torah tells you to do not X, but I tell you to do X. I'm telling you to do the opposite of the Torah. Then already, that's an inyan of Kiddush Hashem. Whose side do we take? That guy's side or the Torah side? Now we have to choose sides. Choosing sides, that's an inyan of Kiddush Hashem. So, give me a second. So, what are we going to say? When it's pikuach nefesh choli, it's not an inyan of Kiddush Hashem. It's just an inyan of what's worth it and what isn't. So the answer is, for some aveiros, it's not worth doing them to save your life, like Gilui Raisa was learning Shvikas Damim. And for some aveiros, it is worth doing them to save your life. But, therefore, what's the nafkamina? Pikuach nefesh choli, when there's no Kiddush Hashem. So we say, if the din is Yavor V'al Yehareg, then it is Aser to be Moser Nefesh. It is Aser to give up your life because you're giving up your life for no reason. Shmir Shabbos is not a valid reason. It is Aser to be Moser Nefesh because it is for no reason. But in a case of anos, in a case where the guy's coming after you, then even if the din is yavor fi'al yeharig, there is a kiyum of Kiddush Hashem to be Moser Nefesh. Meaning, if the guy's trying to force you to do something, even if the din is Yavor Yehareg, it's not worth giving up your life to avoid the Aveira. He says, eat an Aveira or I'll kill you. It's not worth giving up your life to avoid eating an Aveira. For her, right, if you were sick and the doctor told you eat the Aveira, you would eat it. But you're not giving up your life to avoid eating the Aveira. You're giving up your life for Kiddush Hashem. Now, some Kiddush Hashem is required to give up your life for it. Like Befar Hesi and Shas HaShman and all the discussions in Sanhedrin of Ayin Dalet, and some Kiddush Hashem is optional to give up your life for. But it's always a Midas Chasidus to give up your life for Kiddush Hashem. And that's the Chap. The Chap is that the Aveira itself is not a Hatzdakah for giving up your life. How do you say Hatzdakah? A justification. The Aveira is not worth giving up your life, but Kiddush Hashem is a good reason. But there's no Kiddush Hashem if the guy stops sick. So Rabban uses a case where there's no Kiddush Hashem involved. That's not a fair case. Worse than no Kiddush Hashem, you have to weigh my life versus the Aveira. So if it's Gilui Raisa, but it's a Shvichas Damim, the Aveira wins. And if it's all the other mitzvahs of the Torah, my life wins. But when there's a guy forcing me, that's where the Kiddush Hashem, it's standing up for my religion. When you're sick, there's no standing up for your religion. To not call it tzol is not called standing up to your religion. If someone tells you violate your religion and you say no, that's standing up for your religion, which is really standing up for God, right? Who gave you the religion. So that's called Kiddush Hashem. So Kiddush Hashem, even when it's not obligatory, there's still a midas chassidus to give up your life for Kiddush Hashem. What would they say? They would say that Shar Averos Bifar Hesya or Bishas Hashmad is chiyuv of Kiddush Hashem to give up your life. And Shar Averos Bitzina Shalo Bishas Hashmad. Okay, I'm just using information that's found in that Gemara. Right? If it's in private, not Shas Hashmad like here, or even if it's in public, but his intention is it, then, well, we'll see, then there is a Midas Chasidus of Kiddush Hashem. Hashem didn't require you to give up your life for every darg of Kiddush Hashem, only for a high darg of Kiddush Hashem. But even a lower darg of Kiddush Hashem, you wouldn't say it's usur, it's chayv nafshu, it's usur and stupid to give up your life for a low-level Kiddush Hashem. No, every Kiddush Hashem, if you want to be so frum, is a good reason to give up your life. Again, not according to the Rambam, but according to Tosos. So I think that's pashut, that this is the way to answer. Pashut, this is the way to answer the Ramban's pashut, this is the way to answer the Ramban's kasha. And if this is in fact the way to answer the Ramban's kasha, then this answers two stiras. If so, right? If it's based on Kiddush Hashem and not the Aveira, which is what I'm claiming, right? Then this answers two stiras. What are the two stiros? The first one is a tricky stira. I promised I would discuss Chaim Soloveitchik's book. I'm not going to discuss what he says about the Rambam's Igaris HaShmad. But the Rambam has a stira. The Rambam says you're never allowed to give up your life when it's not required. However, in the Igaris HaShmad, he says, the Igaris HaShmad, he's working very, very hard to make, what was the Igaris HaShmad? Right? There was a certain Shmad, the Almohads, where's a fanatical? No, he means Muhammad.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, well, we hear Otoa Ish, but in his days, he didn't know that everyone else thought Otoa Ish meant someone else. He meant Muhammad. You ever heard of that other guy? You know that other guy? He's like 1,000 miles away. No, that's not true. I mean, he definitely heard of the other guy. He discussed him in the Mishnah Torah in the uncensored version. But here he means Muhammad, right? So the Almohads, who are a very fanatical Muslim sect. They were like ISIS in that they were very fanatical. In terms of their specific theology, I have not studied either of them that well, so I can't tell you. One way in which they are not like ISIS is that, to the best of my knowledge, ISIS, not that they've ever had a hefitimzi, but I think al-pi din, according to the ISIS halacha, they would not force old Jews to convert to Islam. I'm pretty sure that the current state of their law books is that you do not have to force old Jews and Christians to convert to Islam. Merely to accept a certain status, lower status in society, and, you know, not to mess with anyone.
They just kill themselves. You know?
No. I'm not sure, but it doesn't really matter. Okay, let's get back to our sugya. Lo mishaneh. Anyway. Yeah, we all know, like, the people in most trouble from ISIS are not the Christians, the Jews, the Yazidis, or anyone else. It's the Muslims who have a different philosophy than they do. Kedarka Makodesh, that everyone's more upset at the people almost like them than the people very different from them. The Rambam has, it's a very fascinating book. Some guy wrote, and what happened was, all the Jews in this country, they gave in, right? They became Moranos. They didn't use that word, right? They converted to Islam, but they still kept their Judaism as much as they could in private. They kept their beliefs in private. So some guy, who I'm not sure why he thought this was so helpful, wrote a whole letter where he said, you know, this is the old style school musser. You know, you guys are all, and he thought this would be very productive, which, I don't know, I mean, in some circumstances it is, but not in the Rambam's days, probably not in our days. He says, you guys are all Rishon Gemurim. You're all Chayiv Misa for violating your Har Bal Yavor.
And B, and you're saying now you try to like daven do mitzvahs in private, he says all those things are worthless because once you're open to Zara, then all your mitzvahs are worthless. So the Rambam wrote a letter where he tried to combat both of these beliefs, that he really excoriated this fellow for demoralizing everyone. He tried to boost the morale. The second thing he said was not so controversial, which he said, no, regardless of whether it's right or wrong that you gave into the shmad, every mitzvah is important. Even if a guy shmadded and did a lot of bad things, still, every time he does mitzvahs, he gets a reward, and he should still try his best. Okay, that's not such a big chiddush. You know, it makes sense. Even if you did big averos, doesn't mean you should also do small averos. You should try to do the best you can in your circumstances. Okay, the first part of the Igeres HaShmad was more radical. He tried to justify the Jew's Shmad. And he tried to say that really maybe it was okay that they accepted Islam. And that's what Chaim has a long essay about in this collected essays, Chelek Beis, about whether that's really true, whether the Rambam contradicted himself about this. Is it really true that you can mamash find a heter for these people to Shmad and convert to Islam? In none of their hearts. Just, you know, convert to Islam as far as the eye could see. Really? Like, that really sounds like it should be hard vel yavar. So the Rambam works very hard to try and come up with the svara. Again, how much he really agreed with the svara, or was he just saying it's a possibility that I want to use in this circumstance to boost morale? Look in Chaim's article. But what does he say here? He says something very funny. He says this is a unique shmad, which is not comparable to any case in the Gemara. Why? Because every case in the Gemara, there was a maisa. And in this case, all you have to do is a dibur, right? And I would add that even though the Gemara does say a dibur of Eliata, if I look at a statue of an idol and I say, you are my God, that counts as what is our mamish. Mm-hmm. But over here, it wasn't even that far, right? Meaning right. The Almohads believed in the same God we did. Yeah. As a matter of fact, the Almohad, their name comes from Ohad Yichud. They were the ones who believed in monotheism. Mm-hmm. They had a radical monotheism. But obviously you have to be kofar in the Torah and etc. And except basically for the Jews, the Shemad part was not saying there is no God but Allah, right? Maybe, we believed that before they came around. It is, and Muhammad is his prophet, right? It's the Nevuas Oso Ha'ish, as they say. Not the Avodah Zarah Oso Ha'ish, that's the other Oso Ha'ish, it's the Nevuah Oso Ha'ish. So, says the Rambam, this kind of shmad, where all you have to do is say you accept the Nevuah, and you don't really believe it, that's not your heart val yavor.
He also says that apparently this shmad is not required to do any overt action.
Correct, they don't have to do anything. All they have to do is say they accept Muhammad, and he says, and if just a shmad of some divur as to who is or isn't a prophet, and you don't actually believe it, that's not Yehar Gal Yavar. That's the Rambam's Tiddush, okay, that was very historically important. What did the Rambam add, though? The Rambam adds many places in, this is a very balanced letter, the Igeres HaShmad, because it's always tricky. On the one hand, I mean, Adhayim Azeh, if you're dealing with Jews, you want to be a Chazik people, tell them they're not so bad. On the other hand, you don't want to be Mater everything, right? Tell them, oh, you're still good Jews and you should try your hardest, etc. But on the other hand, you don't want to tell people that what they're doing is okay if it's not okay. So the Rambam, in a few places in the Igeres, throws in the counterbalance that, like, well, it's not really okay. Like, for example, he says that this is all al tanai that you're stuck in that country, but you have to try to leave that country as soon as possible. And also, in this paragraph, he says something interesting. He says, remember, shlichos is nevuah. Anyone who gives up their life to not accept the prophecy of Muhammad, lo yomer lo shalsa yasra tov, he's doing the right thing. Yeshal sakh gorotesh and gets a big scar about lost malun yom gets the highest madrigal of Gan Eden. You must are atmul kedush Hashem is baruch yis Allah. See, his most nefesh kedush Hashem. What does the Rambam say? He breaks his rule. In the Mishnah Torah, he said that if it's Yehar Gal Yavar, die. If it's Yavar Gal Yavar, you're not allowed to give up your life. All of a sudden, here he makes an exception. In the Shmad of Muhammad, of the Almohads, you're allowed to accept Muhammad and save your life. But if you do give up your life, it's Maila El Yonah and Master Nafshul Kiddush Hashem. You're up there in the highest heavens. You're on the dais in Gan Eden, right? With Mishael, Hanania, Vazaria on one side, and Avraham Avinu on the other side. Okay, so they point out this is a famous stira.
The Rambam's one hold it's never a heter to give up your life optionally. And yet, in Geres HaShemad, he said this. So what's pshat? So I think pshat is obvious. Is that, number one, the Stira and the Rambam. Mishnah Torah versus Igeres HaShemad. So what does he say? The Rambam would say he really admits to the answer we gave for the other people. He admits that b'makom kiddush Hashem. You're allowed to give up your life optionally. He would just say that the Mishnah Torah is talking about Sharaveiros. Sharaveiros, Shabbos. The guy tells you b'chal Shabbos and tells you eat nevela. So then he thinks, if it's just Sharaveiros that are not the Gimel Chamuros, then there's Ein Kiyum Shel Kiddush Hashem. He thinks there's no Kiddush Hashem in Sharaveiros. And that's why he says you can't give up your life for Sharaveiros. He thinks maybe there's no Kiddush Hashem for Sharaveiros. But in the Igeres HaShemad, what's he talking about there? He's talking about there basically something tantamount to Avodah Zarah, right? He's talking about accepting the Shlichus of Muhammad, which is Kfir Gemura, right? Which is tantamount to Avodah Zarah, just you have a technicality of a heter of Dibur. So there he's talking about, right? He's talking about Avodah Zarah b'Dibur. Again, I can't possibly express what he's really saying, right? He's talking about Avodah Zarah b'Dibur, right? That's what he says. It's like the Shana of Avodah Zarah, but it's only Dibur. And I know technically it's not Avodah Zarah, it's accepting a false prophet, not a false god, which has many nafkaminas, but I am oversimplifying. In that case, then he would say, there's a kiyum of Kiddush Hashem. Now it makes sense. If you're talking about Shabbos and Nevela and all the things, then I understand. There's no kiyum of Kiddush Hashem in this case.
Well,
but a guy holds his gun to your head and says, eat treif. So then Rambam thinks, unlike what we said, that's not a kiyum of Kiddush Hashem. But if the guy tells you accept Muhammad, convert to Islam, of course there's a kiyum of Kiddush Hashem. You might have a technical term from the chiyum because it's only Dibur. Yeah. But there's still a kiyum of Kiddush Hashem because after all, it's about your religion versus his religion. It's about converting to another religion. So it's the stam aveira. He doesn't think there's enough of a kiyum of Kiddush Hashem. But mamish converting to Islam?
Okay, but that's very inventive. But the Rambam should have, in the Mishnah Torah, referred to what he wrote in his youth when he was young and bring that. If that's so vital, like what you're doing.
So my answer is, so I have two answers. Either number one, I have two answers. Neither of them are really good. One is that the whole point of the Geres HaShemad is that this breaks the normal categories of Shas. Right? Because on the one hand it's Gimel Chamuros, on the other hand it's B'dibur, and therefore, since it doesn't fit into the normal categories, he didn't bring in the Mishnah Torah. Which is not such a great answer. The other answer is that, like I pointed out, the Rambam was very nervous about this inyan. Maybe the Rambam didn't really want to spread this heter. What it was necessary to be mechazeg, the morale of people who are already shmadid, then he's willing to write this. In the Mishnah Torah, he's not writing this l'chachila for someone who wants to know what to do in the future. He only is willing to write this b'dievet. Right? So I think that's the pshat. I mean, it's such a dangerous svara. Think about how dangerous the Svara is. According to the Rambam Svara, everyone can end up converting to Islam, Beheter. Right? That's a very dangerous Svara. So B'di'evit, he has no choice but to write this dangerous Svara because he needs to be mechazik them post facto. But he's not going to write this in the Mishnah Torah. Even if he believed it, first of all, maybe he only believed it was a Svara and he wasn't sure about it, but he was willing to be so mechazik. And even if he was sure it was a true Svara, he's not going to write in the Mishnah Torah where people use it as a lechatchila. Okay. Anyway, the more interesting Svara is Stira Betosos. Between Avodah Zarah and Sanhedrin. Why? In Avodah Zarah, that's the famous Tosos who says you're allowed to give up your life. But in Sanhedrin, what does Tosos say? In Sanhedrin, Tosos says that in Sanhedrin, Tosos says the case in Yavamas where a guy says to a Jew, be mechallel Shabbos, or I'll kill you like I killed the other guy who wouldn't cook for me on Shabbos. So Tosfos says, it must be the first guy didn't know the halacha. Because al pi halacha,
you don't give up your life for Chol HaShabbos, for Shara Devarim. So now, here's a deal. Why didn't Tosfos just say the first guy was Midas Chasidus? Right? Why didn't Tosfos say the first guy was Midas? What did Tosfos say? A guy said to Chaim, you better harvest my crops on Shabbos, because the last guy told him to cook for me on Shabbos, and he said no, and I shot it.
Yeah.
So Tosfos says the first guy was wrong. He didn't know the halacha. Why not just say the first guy was Midas Chasidus, was allowed to, he was optional. It's a pretty strong deal from Tosfos that Tosfos holds it. There's no heter to give up your life optionally. So that's a stira, right? Avodah Zarah versus Sanhedrin. In Avodah Zarah, he says you're allowed to give up your life for Shabbos. And in Sanhedrin, he implies very strongly, you're not allowed to give your life. First guy was ignorant of halacha. The only reason someone gave up their life is because they didn't know the halacha. But if you know the halacha, you wouldn't give up your life. This is a famous stira in Tosfos. I haven't seen anyone who tries to answer the stira in the Rishonim to discuss stira in Tosfos, but it's obvious what the answer is, and the Gra already points this out on the Shulchan Aruch. The answer is like the famous Shita of Bnei Yerucham, right? What's the answer? The answer is the answer is in Rabbeinu Yerucham. What does Rabbeinu Yerucham say? He says it depends on the guy's intent. Now keep in mind, the Shulchan Yevorim did not hold this way. But he says it depends on the guy's intent. He says, what's the difference? In the case of Tosfos and Avodah Zarah, the guy told you eat Nevela. Why does he want you to eat Nevela? Does it help him for you to eat Nevela? No, it's his kavana was lahaviro al doso. He wanted to make you violate religion. In the case of Yevamos, what's the guy saying? Cut my crops and cook me food. Cut my crops and cook me food? That's not trying to get someone to violate the religion. That's the guy says, I don't want excuses, right? The guy says, look, all the other people around here work for me on Shabbos, and all of a sudden you're claiming your religious exemption? No, I want everyone to work equally. So that's called Hanas Atzman. Mm-hmm. Says Rabbi Yerucham very, very sharply. Says Rabbi Yerucham, he says, Tosfos in Avodah Zarah was a case of miskaven leha'aviru. He wanted to make you violate your religion. But Tosfos in Sanhedrin, that's clear from the case. Miskaven Lanas Atzmo. He just wanted his work done. And he didn't want any of this. He didn't want this before the, what do they call it? Religious Freedom Restoration Act, right? That he said, look, I need what I need. I don't have time to take into account everyone's religious, restrictions. You know, I don't bother me with this. Just do the work when I tell you how I tell you, right? So in Miskaven LaViro, then it makes perfect sense. Miskaven LaViro, there is a kiyum of Kiddush Hashem. And therefore, it's optional to give up your life even for Shara Veros. But in Tosfos and Sanhedrin, where the guy just wants his food cooked and his hay cut, then there's no kiyum of Kiddush Hashem. Yet, I'm not saying you have to say this. I'm just saying it's perfectly logical. Then there's no kiyum of Kiddush Hashem, Tosfos holds. What do you mean? I tell you to do something just because I need my work done and it's Shabbos? How's a Kiddush Hashem stand up to me? It's not a religious issue. This is just a technical issue. You have a technical problem. That's not Kiddush Hashem. When I'm going against your religion, that's Kiddush Hashem. If I say, violate your religion or I'll kill you, then you're allowed to violate, but it's a key of Kiddush Hashem to give up your life. But if I say, do what I need done or I'll kill you and I don't care about anyone's religion, then that's not Kiddush Hashem. Stand up. What do you mean? It's not a religious issue. It just technically happens to be a conflict with your religion. But it's not a religious issue. Maybe there's no Kiddush Hashem. You could have said there is Kiddush Hashem. Saying you could say for Tosfos, you could say this to answer this here in Tosfos, that once the Yesod, again, what's my Yesod? My Yesod is that the Tosfos or the Imei are not because of the Aveira. Not that it's optional to put the Aveira above your life. No. Not at all. It's the life beats your Aveira. It's optional to put Kiddush Hashem above your life. Once it's Kiddush Hashem, you could have no compromises, or you could have compromises. You could have the Rambam's compromise. There's never a valid need of Kiddush Hashem, except in this one case where it happens to be Avodah Zarah, but you have a technical Torah of Dibur. Or you could have Tosfos. It depends what it's about. If the guy's making a religious issue out of it, there's a Kiyum Kiddush Hashem. If it's not a religious issue, there's no Kiyum Kiddush Hashem.
What is the old if he lets him kill him?
If he lets him kiddush, then he didn't do a kiyum of Kiddush Hashem. He followed the din.
He's over on Nisa?
No. Remember, the din is Yavro V'al Yehari. It's just a kiyum, an optional kiyum. He's not a chassid. Then he's not a chassid.
Mutarlo.
Yeah, mutarlo. That's what we're talking about, a case where it's mutarlo, where the din is Yavro V'al Yehari. Right? Yeah. Question is just whether it's optional to give up your life. So let's chazer for a second what we said here. By the way, you should know, the Mechaber paskins like this Rabbi Yerucham. The Mechaber paskins like this Rabbi Yerucham. He says that if the guy is making a religious issue out of it, you can give in, but it's a midas chasidus to give up your life. But if the guy just needs his work done, then that's like a disease. It's also to give up your life, because it's not worth it. It's not a real Kiddush Hashem. It's not a real issue. Oh, but you're... No, no, in Hanas Atzman, you're not allowed to give up your life. Ah, what are you being over? You're being over suicide. Fine, you're being over passive, you're being over endangering your life. You're being over v'nishmartim old enough shoseichem, staying out of danger. Okay, that's pretty serious. You're being over the same thing as a guy who, you know, who has some terrible disease. The doctor says take this pill, and he says no. Okay, he didn't do anything, but it's still a pretty big up here. So let's just chazer for a second. We saw this very fundamental machlokes in a case of sharaveiros. Where really it's Yavriel Yehori. Is it a midas chasidus to give up your life? Or is it an isser of passive suicide or to give up your life? So the Ramban says you can never give up your life, even though we saw we need a little pshara. And the Meir and Shaliborim, and more famously, Tosfos in the Rush says you can give up your life. What was the svarah for Tosfos in the Rush? According to this, maybe Yabes, maybe the svarah is an Avdera can beat your life optionally. You're allowed to give up your life for the sake of Shmiras Mitzvos. But that, we're not even sure if that's exactly what the Yabes meant. That's too radical. The pshat is that you're not allowed to give up your life for the sake of keeping another mitzvah, but you are allowed to give up your life for an optional Kiddush Hashem, to make a Kiddush Hashem, to stand up for your beliefs. And again, not going to the Hasbon Shabbos, not standing up for beliefs, but a guy with a gun to your head, that's already standing up for yourself and standing up for your religion. And therefore, we said, based on that, we can explain two shittos. Number one, Tosfos, who says the answer to the steer in Tosfos, based on Yerucham, is that it depends. Maybe Tosfos holds his only Kiddush Hashem if his intention is religious. If his intention is secular and it happens to technically work out to be against your religion, that's not Kiddush Hashem. If his intention is to be against your religion, that's Kiddush Hashem. And maybe the Rambam would say, in every case there's no Kiddush Hashem. Except there's one case where there's an optional Kiddush Hashem. What's that one case? Why would there be one weird case? Because the Rambam says, it's a one weird case. Because it's really Avodah Zarah. So of course Kiddush Hashem is shayach to Avodah Zarah. It's converted to another religion. Just happens to be technically Yavriel Yehori because it's Dibor. Since it's really about converting religions, obviously there's a kiyum of Kiddush Hashem. Okay, this is a very important inyan. Now, let us just go on very briefly to list the two other answers for our sugya, which are not Lamdish.
If Lechorah and Mekomi, locally, it's not a problem of... violating the religion, but it will be publicized as if the Jew did do it. In other words, it looks like it. I know that it gives Hanatat Smo, but it's going to go out and say, look at this, all the Jews are now willing to convert, etc. Does that change the situation?
Pashtus, yes. Right, and that exactly. Now that will tie into, there are two other technical answers to our sugya. One technical answer to our sugya is... given by the second answer, the Meiri, and more famously, the Rivash. What does the Rivash and the Meiri in his second answer, although I admit that I don't fully understand all the words of the Meiri, what does it mean to Garubo, what he's exactly getting at. But I get the general idea. But the Rivash is much clearer. What did the Rivash say to explain our sugya? He says, our sugya explained by the normal rules?
No.
No. Rather, what was the case in our sugya? This was special because it was Gedolei Yisrael. This was not the normal circumstance. This is a special circumstance. This is a famous shita the Ran says in Yosef, and it's quoted in the Kesef Mishnah on the side of the Rambam. That the rules of Yehar Bel Yav are for normal circumstances, but Gedolei Ador, like for example Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, right, who are going to affect the whole world, and everyone's going to talk about what they do, and it could lead to a general weakening or strengthening of religion, and a special Chil Hashem. I don't even want to talk about it now. The individual Maisa. There's a unique Chil Hashem for Gedolei Ador. Says the, and not only were they Gedolei Hador, says the Rivash, that's why she, in the story, was a Matronisa.
She was Issa Mesuyemesh. She was also a famous person.
Already, that's a different story. A famous rabbi and a famous Goyish lady.
That's not the regular rules of individuals.
That's a special Chilul Hashem. And I think it's what you're also saying. Yotzeh mizeh Chilul Hashem.
There would be a unique Chilul Hashem that would come out of this, more so than regular. Why?
I assume that Miri meant like the Rivash. If not, the Rivash meant it. Because these are Gdoli Yisrael.
Being the din was they shouldn't have given up their lives. But because of their unique situation, someone with a public leadership role has different rules.
Right, so that could be, he says that this case is different, that Gedolei Yisrael are different because, that says because of Chilul Hashem. Gedolei Yisrael are different because of Chilul Hashem. Right, this is, again, the Kesef Mishnah quoted this on the side of the Rambam.
Most people know this not from the Shurivash, most people know this from the Kesef Mishnah. And the Kesef Mishnah says even the Rambam, who says you can't voluntarily give up your life, he's talking about regular people. He admits that leaders of the community, that's already a... He admits that's already a different story, says the Kesef Mishnah. If I can find this line to quote it to you, very quickly, which I think I can.
Is Medaiket from the Rambam?
No, he just said the Rambam would agree. Kasan Mukayose, da fil v'sfarish Rabbeinu. Even the Rambam would admit, Imu Adam Gadol v'chas Yerushimayim v'rosh Adar parts b'kach. If you're a leader and you see this is an issue in your generation that people are struggling with, Rasha the Kadoshim v'limsor atzma fil mitzvah kalakish, you're unbelumdu. Right, in order to teach people, to set an example, for the Rabbim, you have more achrayas if you're a communal leader, and therefore, a communal leader has different standards. And therefore, this is not the regular standards of like, Ahu Gavra and Yevamos or Nushalmi, all these other cases. These are, who are we talking about here? I forgot by now, but they're very big people. Right? They were Rav Chanina Bar Papi and... Rav Tzadok, doesn't get bigger than Rav Tzadok, right? And Rav Kahana. Okay, these are big names, not just regular Balabatim, and therefore they have special rules. Okay, if they have special rules, that makes sense. The fourth answer is Rabbeinu Yonah, and the and the second answer of the Shilta Giborim makes an Okenta. This is the Shilta Giborim. In his second answer, what do they say? They make an okimta and take away the whole question. The question is, how did they give up their lives if it wasn't Yehar Bel Yavar? What did they answer? They didn't give up their lives. They didn't give up their lives. Rabbeinu Yonah has two formulations on this. He says, they never intended to give up their lives. He says, they just changed the okimta. He says, deny the premise, right? The easiest way to answer the question is to deny the premise. The question was, how could they give up their lives? The answer is, they didn't give up their lives. A haraya, did anyone die? No one died. So you see, they didn't give up their lives, right? So now it's a little tricky because... He jumped off the roof and Eliyona became from 400 parsa away. So it's a little funny. So Eliyona knows that's funny. And Shilly Borim, Eliyona gives two answers.
Either he says that they did not think they would die. How did they not think they would die?
So Rabbeinu Yonah has two answers. I think I Xerox the Rabbeinu Yonah here. It says Rabbeinu Yonah. He says, where's this part? What? He says that's not true. He says not true.
Some
cholanes. Or what was his other? There it is. Some cholanes. Osher yodin shol yomu subakach. That's his two answers. Either A, some cholanes. Now, if you say in Samchan Alanes, so Rabbeinu Yonah have to be chadish that normally in Samchan Alanes, but this was a special case where you're allowed to be Samchan Alanes. You're not allowed to be Samchan Alanes stam.
But in order to be saved from Aveira, from temptation, you can be someone called a nace after all. The Gemara says, anyone who came that Aveira Ebrais came to be saved from it, they make a nace in Shemayim. So maybe there's a unique case of a heter of someone called a nace. Again, I'm not saying try this at home, but it's possible.
The Amorim clearly thought that was so obvious. Like, oh, the reason why you were saved was because you left.
Correct. Right, good point. Remember, they asked him how you were saved, and he said there were two soldiers guarding me. And they said, ah, you must have avoided an Aveira, and that's why. So we see that that's a nace. Or base, that, what was the Lashon Minyan used? Some call it an ace, or Hayu Yodin Shalayim Musa B'Kach.
Same thing.
Hayu Yodin Shalayim Musa. No, I assume the difference is the Derech HaTeva. After all, let's examine these three cases. One guy, now the first case is hard for me to examine, but I'll be Derech HaTeva. He went to a bathhouse where there were a lot of Shadim. Now, I must admit, I'm not a bucky in the Teva of Shadim, but it could be that he knew that the Shadim one. Again, I don't know the rules of Shadim. So let's grant that he had some svara where he knew that he'd be back from Shadim. How about the second case, where he went into the oven? So it's we read it as he burned himself to death almost. Maybe no, maybe it was just a hatzagah. He had good grasp of human psychology. He knew that if he stood in the oven for 30 seconds before it really got hot, you know these people that walk on fire a little, you know. So he knew that it would make an impression on her and she would apologize and leave him alone from then on. Vaharai at work. So he was just a very good student of human psychology. And he knew that this trick, he didn't think he'd be burned. He was just putting on a play for her. The jumping off the roof is the hard part. But here the Shulchan Gevurim comes in and saves us. What does the Shulchan Gevurim say?
He tried to run away.
He wasn't jumping off a roof. He was trying. You ever see a movie? What happens in every movie? Right? The guy on the rooftop and he jumps to the next rooftop and he jumps to the next. So he had seen a lot of movies and he knows it always works. The guy always makes it to the next rooftop. He never falls. So therefore, he was just trying to run away. He was not endangering his life. Taka, you know, people jump from rooftop to rooftop. If you're a good jumper, if you're a good jumper, it's not the end of the world. And it just so happened that by accident he slipped and fell off the roof in an unpredictable fashion, and Eliyahu Navi came and saved him, but he really was just trying to jump to the next rooftop, and it was really a reasonable effort. Like the odds were with him, and you know, how's he supposed to know? There'd be a banana peel pump at the end of the first rooftop. Okay, so that's what you have to say, Lahore, you have to add Shilhi Giborim, that he was just trying to jump to another roof, but that's a good technical answer to avoid the whole problem.
But in the fire case, it said that he had things happen. Wasn't that
just?
I mean, all of it is
nace.
Nothing specifically in that one. If you say that he went to the oven
before
it was hot, he knew it would make
him try to
hurt or something.
Where did it say nace happen to him?
It doesn't say that.
Not to mention the fact that even if you want to call it an ace, okay, maybe it's an ace b'derech hateva. But it technically doesn't say that. Okay, there's one last thing we need to discuss.
I hope this was before the 40 years of the start okay. Fasting.
Now, we need to just discuss the issue that Chaim Soloveitchik talks about. In chapter 11 of Chelek Beis, of his collected essays. This is the famous machlokes he's had with basically every medieval Jewish historian in the last 50 years, which is our case of Rabbi Yonas. I think the only one here points out that our case is slightly different from classic Yehor Gal Yavor. Classic Yehor Gal Yavor means allowing them to kill you. Over here, they didn't allow anyone. That would have been, I told the Matronisa, go ahead and shoot me, see if I care. Right? I'm not afraid of you and your guns. Because I have Olohaba. Okay. But that's not what happened here. They proactively killed themselves. Again, Sir Hidiona says, can't be. You can't, no heter to proactively kill yourself. It must be that they didn't think they would die. But the Pashup shot is, they proactively killed themselves in this case.
Or tried to,
right? But again, if you don't hold like Hidiona, they thought they would, right? So what do we see from here? We see from here that in Malkum Yehor Gal Yavor, let's hope it's at least a Malkum Yehor Gal Yavor, right? Not only, or maybe even a Malkum Midas Chasidus, not only are you allowed to give up your life, you're even allowed to take your life.
Right.
From here we see the heter of taking your life. And that's clear in the Rabban. The Rabban says, Yehor Gal Yavor, they had to kill themselves. right? Clearly, taking your life is also bichlal. This is a big machlokes that Chaim Soloveitchik had with a whole bunch of other scholars. He quotes some of the people. Who are some of the people who disagreed with him? Grossman, of course, Avram Grossman, and Tashman, and a whole bunch of Ivan Marcus, I remember back in the day, and etc. Right. So, what was the machlokas? The machlokas was: you ever read even some of the keynotes from Tisha B'Av? What did the Jews do in the time of the Crusades? What was the big shevach in the time of the Crusades? That first of all, they killed themselves to avoid being forcibly baptized. Not only that, this is what's mentioned by the. I hope no one read this Das Akenim that I put in brackets. But already the Ritva in Avodah Zarah talks about, right, the fact that they shechted their kids rather than have them taken by the church and raised as Christians, etc. Right, and that's mentioned in the keynotes on Tisha B'Av. We say that, right, and that's the holy, the high level of Kiddush Hashem that they got to. So this was very controversial, meaning. Who says it's mutter to kill yourself to avoid Aveira? The Gemara just says it's mutter to let the Goyim kill you. No one said it's mutter to kill yourself. Why would they kill themselves? So apparently it seems in the Bali Tosos, because they were afraid that if they were caught, they would be tortured, and then under pressure they would give in and agree to be baptized. So they killed themselves to avoid, being pressured until they agreed to Shemad to convert to Christianity. So this was very controversial. Rabbi Yonah here says, that I Zirax, it's one of the things Rabbi Yonah says, he says, and you know what? This whole sugya in Kiddushin is impossible anyway. He says, this whole Kiddushin, this whole sugya is ridiculous, he says. The ode, Echiala Leilavi Rai Osun Beis Masim, Sherit Sadagar, Vahim Atzman Yom Yisan Atzman. How do you bring any halachic proof of the Gemara in Kiddushin? They kill themselves. We never find a heter to kill yourself. That you can kill yourself quicker because you're afraid. We never heard that if the goyim are pressuring you, can kill yourself first. No, we never heard that. There's no heter to kill yourself. That's suicide. Right? As we pointed out, the sugya is only talking about letting the goy kill you. No one actually talks about committing murder, murdering yourself.
Hold it as a subject. Never threat.
Yeah, correct. And that's what happened in the famous story that's in the Das Akenim Bali Tosfos in brackets and also in the Orchas Chaim and I think maybe also in the Smak, and I've also been in Peretz, that there were certain two Rebbeim who argued about whether you should kill the little kids when the Goyim come to Shema to take them away to be baptized. And one of them said, no, it's murder. And the other said, yes, it's to save them from Avodah Zarah. And the first one said, okay, if you're wrong, you should die at Misa Mashona. Apparently people said things like that in the old days. I don't recommend it, because unfortunately it seems to work sometimes. And in the end, there was a pogrom, and the second rabbi, he shechted his students, and they caught him and killed him at Misa Mashona. And that's not the sad part. The sad part is, so the first guy was right. Seems to be a disproof. And he said, not only that, at the last minute,
they
were saved, and it probably would have been fine, and he killed them for no reason. Okay, these are sad things that happened in those days. By the way, Agav, I'm not talking about halachically here. There's not a halachic riot at all. But in terms of Hashkafli, our Mesora, what was the main model for the parents in the time of the Crusades, of course? Akedah Yitzchak, right? And that's written mefurish in all the keynotes and everything, that this is the Akedah, etc., right? And I don't want to make us sad here at Tisha B'Av, but the Tisha B'Av says they looked at the heavens and they said, Avram did one Akedah, and look how many we did, etc. Okay, so that's, again, that's not Allah, right? Anything, the Akedah. Hashem told Avram, Kach, Les Bin Chasi Chitcha. And he didn't even mean it in the end. And it was only Havmina. But let's get back to the question of killing yourself. Should you kill yourself to avoid being pressured to do an Aveira? So, here we basically have this famous machlokes. Right? How about killing yourself, not to mention others, proactively? So, says Rabbeinu Yonah, Asur, it's ridiculous. There's no heter. Nowhere in Shas does it say you can kill yourself.
Oh, what is it to do with our sugya? Our sugya must be different because they didn't think they would die. They were so much on the nature, they had a plan. They were just very clever and had a good plan. We're not so clever, but they were so clever that it was a plan. That's Rabbeinu Yonah. But clearly that's not what the other Rishonim here think. It's famous as, you know, Tosfos, right, is on the other side of this issue. Tosfos and Razara says, where Hanina ben Tradyon says, right, I don't want to cause myself to die earlier, right? They said to open your mouth and let it die. He says, no, I'm not going to take my own life. I'll wait till it happens on its own. So Tosfos says there, that's Rabbeinu Hanina ben Tradyon because he wasn't afraid of Avera. But in a case where you're afraid they'll force you to do it of Averos, they're afraid they'll torture you until you accept baptism,
right.
Then it's a mitzvah to take your own life. That's the famous Shita of Tosos, and that was not just a theoretical Shita, that was Maisim B'chol Yom, unfortunately, sadly, in Tosos's time. In medieval Ashkenaz,
but
that's what it says here. He says, what daf was this supposed to be?
Yudches.
Yudches.
Yeah,
ah, yeah. That's. Turned to my shas the wrong sechet. That's why I didn't find it. That makes more sense. Omer ben Yotam. If you're afraid, you're going to usurp, they'll torture you, tell you, until you get baptized, accept baptism. Also, mitzvah to kill yourself, says the Tosfos, mitzvah to kill yourself. And now here we have a famous machlokes. among the historians. This is what they did in medieval Ashkenaz. The question was,
Was that always Shmad? In other words, in the Holocaust, it wasn't Shmad.
Yeah. Holocaust was different.
In the Holocaust, it wasn't Shmad. No. So, we're not talking about that.
No, so I'm saying, you wouldn't say this.
No, we're talking about Shmad. We're talking about Shmad, although we'll see that maybe you could expand it a little. So now, who agrees with Tosos in our sugya, though? We see many people agree with Tosos in our sugya. How do we know? Because, how do we know many people agree with Tosfos in our sugya? Because all the Rishonim, right? For example, says the Ritva of Avodah Zarah, Kasav Yonei Tosfos, etc. Right? And he says the etc. But that's the Ritva in our sugya. The Ritva in our sugya says, Yehovah Yavar, they're allowed to kill themselves, right? You can add the Ramban and the Ritva. What do they say? Yehovah Yavar, better to kill yourself before you give in to pressure. Right? If you think you might end up losing, you think you might be weak, better to kill yourself first. That's exactly the sheet that Rabbeinu Yonah denied existed. Not only that, but you know, the Me'iri and the Shilta Giborim thought Midas Chasidus. They didn't say Midas Chasidus, you're allowed to give up your life. They said Midas Chasidus, you're allowed to kill yourself, right? So Me'iri and the Shilta Giborim, right, Rabbeinu Yonah denied it. He says our sugya, they weren't really killing themselves. Maybe you say Gdol Yisrael are different, you can't necessarily bring a riot. But all the Rishonim who explain our sugya based on normal halacha, either halacha Yehar Bel Yavar or halacha Midas Chasidus, holds that you're allowed to, and maybe even it's a mitzvah or Midas Chasidus, to kill yourself, to not just to die, but to kill yourself to avoid an Aveira. Now, Mehehi Tesi, see, now you're allowed to kill yourself to avoid an Aveira. Chayim Salavechi got a famous machlokas with others. Chayim Salavechi thought that this was a sort of intuitive reaction of the Ashkenazim under pressure in the time of the Crusades and other pogroms. And then ex post facto, the Rishonim came and justified it. But it's not Pashup Shat Halacha. Right. He thought it was not Pashup Shat. They ex post facto validated it. Right. And all the other historians said, no, it could be that the halacha you could tie it one way, tie it the other way. But there's a perfectly reasonable 50, at least 50-50 pashup shot in halacha. That was the famous machlokas. It's a very subtle machlokas. Was it the did they do it because of the halacha? Because it's pashup shot in halacha? Or no, they did it and then stuck it into the halacha. Because we know Bali Tosfos did that in other sugyas. There are some in Hagim they had in their days that they then tried to stick in post facto into the halacha even though it wasn't pashup shot. Right, that's clear. The Bali Tosfos many places, especially Maseches Beitza, say this is our minhag, and then we can stick it into the Gemara even if it's dachuk.
So is this dachuk or is this pashup shat halacha? So Chaim Soloveitchik assumed like Rabbeinu Yonah. Pashup shat, of course you're not allowed to take your life to avoid an avera. No one's ever allowed to kill themselves. There's no heter of suicide. You're never allowed to take your life. That was an intuitive reaction, which post facto, they were nidchak and stuck into the shas. And all the other historians said, no, this has good makoros in shas. Okay, so does it have good makoros in shas, or does it not? I would say, shtei tshuvas bedavar. Number one, al pi halacha. Al pi halacha, it has this sugya in kedushin. I know there are different ways of reading the sugya in kedushin. But look how many non-Ashkenazim said, look at the Ramban and the Ritva. The Ramban and the Ritva, when they read our sugya, they were not Ashkenazim. And they didn't even say, from here we see you're allowed to kill yourself to avoid Gila Reis and Vodazon Shvichos Damim. They just said, oh, it's Yehar Val Yavar, so it makes sense. Without even, they didn't even ask, is there a difference between killing yourself and letting the goy kill you? They just like said, oh, Pasha, it makes sense. No problem at all, it's Yehar Val Yavar. As if it was the most Pasha thing in the world to the Ramban and the Ritva. That if it's Yehar Val Yavar, you're allowed to kill yourself to avoid it. Now, you could say that comes after Tosfos, etc. But it seems to me that if the Ramban and the Ritva, I know Rabbi Yonah was terribly upset. He says, you're never allowed to kill yourself. It must be, they knew they wouldn't die. But the Ramban and the Ritva just say, oh, Yehar Val Yavar, it all works out. And don't even bother to ask themselves, well, maybe is a difference in killing yourself and being killed? Then maybe it shows that the other professors are right. That the Pashup Shat and Shas, based on our sugya, is that if it's a hard val yavor, just like you should let the guy kill you, you should kill yourself if necessary.
Isn't there still a difference between sikha and killing yourself? I mean, even if killing yourself might fall
under... Yes, yes. Really, there is no makor in shas for killing others.
Right, so I'm saying this...
To avoid avera. There's no makor in shas for killing others to avoid avera.
The reason why they're at Ban and Ritva, the reason they flinch necessarily is because, like...
This yes, but Chaim's not cloaked even about killing yourself. Okay, you're right. I'll point that out. Now, the other thing is, number one, al pi halacha, Tosos seems to have a good raya from our sugya. Why? Tosos doesn't even quote our sugya. But nonetheless, our sugya seems to work well for Tosos. Number two, Tosos brings a lot of rayas from Agata. What are his two main rayas from Agata? Actually, from Agata and Medrash. His first raya is the Gemara in Gittin. Right? In the fifth parak by the Korban, there were 400 boys and 400 girls who were taken on boats for forced prostitution in Rome. And the girls said, maybe we should jump into the sea, and will we go to Olam Haba? And one of them didn't know how to darshan, and they would go to Olam Haba, so they jumped into the sea, and the boys made a kabbal chomer and also jumped into the sea, and Abaskal said they're all going to Olam Haba. So we see that it's better to, you should kill yourself. It doesn't say if you have to or not, but at the very least, it's a mitzvah to kill yourself to avoid being in a life of Gilui Raos. And the Midrash Rabbah says, V'aches dimchem l'nafsho seichem edrosh. What is the Chazal's drasha from Aches dimchem l'nafsho seichem edrosh? Dimchem refers to your blood, not the species your blood, but specifically your blood. You can't kill yourself. How do you know you can't kill yourself? Aches dimchem l'nafsho seichem edrosh. I'll even punish you for your own blood. Ach is a miyot. Yachav yilka shol. Maybe even Shaul was wrong for killing himself. Remember he fell on a sword? Talmud Lomar, ach, to exclude the case of Shaul. Shaul killed himself so the Plishtim wouldn't torture him. Right? So therefore we see that it's mutter. So, that was all the story. And say, what do you mean? All over Chazal, it's mutter to take your own life. Again, Chas v'Shalom, we're not talking about people who commit suicide like nowadays. I'm talking about under pressure from your enemies that who have control over you. It's mutter to kill yourself in order to escape from the fate your enemies want to give you, whether the 400 kids, or whether Shaul. So, they say, what do you mean? In Ashkenaz, they were just doing what it says in Shas, what it says in the Halacha parts of Shas, what it says in the Agadi parts of Shas, what it says in the Midrash Rabbah, they had a firm basis. Okay. Chaim pointed out that this basis is not necessarily so stark, because the case of the boys and girls, were they committing suicide because of Yehar Val Yavar? What was the case there? Was it Yehar Val Yavar, what they were being brought for?
No, for sexual pleasure.
Not necessarily. First of all, it could be that, at least for the girls, right? According to everyone but the Mordechai, it's not Yehar Val Yavar, be a goy.
Right.
And even, right? And even for the boys weren't being brought to be Boel Goyish girls. They were being brought for Mishkav Zachar, so that was also not Yehar Val Yavar, right? So it's not Boel Aramis. And it was Karka Olam. So number one, it was Not Kanon Pogumo, it was Karka Olu. Not your Shol, for sure, than your Yavar. They weren't going to make Shol do Averos. They were just going to be Mavazah him. Right? So he says, that's not a good Raya. Okay.
Does that make the Raya better?
So, okay, give me a second. So, I just want to point out one thing and then show how the Rayas really are good. The question is why? Why, like, Rabbi Yonah has a good point. It's usher to kill yourself. You don't need to justify why it's usher to kill yourself. What's the yisod of the Shita of Tosos? What's the yisod of Tosos' Shita? What is the svara of Tosos? So what does Rav Chanan say? What's the svara of Tosos? What does Rav Chanan say is the svara of Tosos? So Rav Chanan says, he ties into a lot of other lumdas, which is not a place for now. The machlokes in Tosos and Rabbeinu Yonah, right? It's on the Makor sheet, right? There he quotes, the machlok is between. Here, okay, just to be fair, I apologize. Here he quotes Tosos and he sort of puts Tosos, because he's starting on some other lumdas, on the Rabbeinu Yonah side. So he decides Tosos Ramban. But we're going to use our Rishonim here, right? It's okay, there are different Tosos and Shas, they don't have to agree. What's the Svara of Tosos and the Ramban? I'll just add the word Ramban, because that won't. He called it the Shita of Ramban. So he says, normally, Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Averos. But the Gimel Chamuros, is it that they're Docha Pikuach Nefesh, or is it a tie? So that's what Rav Chanan says. Says Rav Chanan in the Kovetz Aros, he says that the Gimel Chamuros are doche pikuach nefesh. Are doche your life. Meaning, these three averos are more important than your life. And that's what he says, Rabbeinu Yonah holds, he calls it tosos, based on it, one of the tosos, that it's a tie. Your life versus the gimel chamuros, avodah zarah gilui eshivos, is a tie. So don't kill yourself, but don't save yourself. Just let them do what they do. But tosos, no, the gimel chamuros is doche, is more important than your life. And therefore, you can go, and you should go, and kill yourself, take your life, bidoche gimel chamuros.
It's a symmetry. Since pikuach nefesh is doche, since the gimel chamuros...
Doche pikuach nefesh.
The pikuach nefesh is doche gimel chamuros.
But Rabbeinu Yonah holds, it's a tie. Rabbeinu Yonah holds the tie. So you can't save yourself by doing the Averos, but you can't kill yourself. You should just let the chips fall where they may. So, Gimel Chamuros is Doche Pikuach Nefesh. Therefore, you should kill yourself to avoid violating the Gimel Chamuros. Right? That is his pshat. Not that it's a tie, but Gimel Chamuros, whenever something's Doche, it means you actively go, and you're Doche this for the sake of that. Okay, that is his pshat in the Ramban. But... What? No, he did. According to him, it would make sense to kill someone also, right? Because if the Gimel Chamuros are Docha Pikuach Nefesh, and just like the Docha Yor Pikuach Nefesh is Docha the other guy's Pikuach Nefesh, right? It would make perfect sense, according to Rav Chanan. Now, the problem I have, he could be right. He could very well be right. But.
What responsibility do I have over the life of someone else? Like, over my responsibility, my life. How can I take someone else's life if it's person? I can't.
Okay, Yeshlod and Harbe. One thing that all the historians agree. All the historians agree. There's no basis in the halacha for taking someone else's life, which works well for Chaim. You know, if taking someone else's life, there's no basis. Then, but nonetheless, there's no clear basis for that. Although I will suggest the basis. Again, not that, you don't want to be too nenef in this very, very sad historical circumstance. But I will suggest the basis. But that's what Rav Chanan says. However, I don't think Rav Chanan is a full explanation. Why do I not think Rav Chanan is a full explanation? Because of two things. Number one, the way the Ritva quotes Tosfos is Mutar Lachbol Biatzmo. And the way Tosos says in Avodah Zarah is, okay, mitzvah chavo ba'atzvo. Mitzvah is not so clear, but sometimes mitzvah doesn't mean chova.
Right? So it's only a heter lachbol ba'atzmon.
He has that lashon.
If pikuach nefesh was really docha, yeah. Sorry, if the gimel aver is really docha pikuach nefesh, then how would you say it's mutter lachbol ba'atzmon? It should be a chiyav lachbol ba'atzmon. But even more so,
here.
Okay.
He does deal with that.
Okay, but even more so. Okay, let me. I'm not talking about grachia. I'm talking about Ochanan. I say that might explain the Ramban and Tosfos, but the Ritva is questionable. He says mutter. If it's really a matter of dechia, it's not mutter, right? But maybe not the Ritva who says mutter lachbo ba'atzmo. After all, if you really know that you're going to end up worshiping a zara, it should be a chiyuv. And, but even more so, how about the Meiri in the Shilta Yiborim who says midas chasidus to kill yourself?
Yeah.
They say it's midas chasidus even for shara averos to kill yourself. Then that is not the Rochanan. And definitely not Meiri and Shilta Yiborim who say it's midas chasidus to kill yourself even for shara averos. Remember, they held that sleeping with a goyish girl is not gilui raos yehar gal yavo, right? Right? They disagree. They say it's not good on pogamo. So they say even to avoid chil shabbos a mitzvah to kill yourself. Even to avoid treif a mitzvah to kill yourself. Then Rav Chanan's svar doesn't apply. His svar was that the gimel chamuros outweigh pikuach nefesh. But the Meir in the Shilta Yiborim say you can kill yourself even not for gimel chamuros. So what's pshat? Pshat is, I can say this in two ways, but since I'm on tape, I'll only say it the less machodesh way. I think pshat is not like Rosh Hashanah. I mean, it could be, but at least not exclusively like Rosh Hashanah. I think pshat is you have to go back to Shoal. Right? Because it also does not explain the connection to Shoal. Shoal was not afraid of violating the Mochamuros. They were not going to force him to violate Averos. They were just, well, you capture the enemy king and it's a Chagigah, right? You parade him around, etc. Right? They weren't going to make him bow down to idols. Where did he get that idea? Penis Alu Bubi Plishtim. So what's Pshat? Pshat is what would have happened if they had captured Shoal and tortured him and paraded him around all the gates of of the Plishti cities, etc. What would have happened? That would be tremendous Chil Hashem. What a Chil Hashem it is for the Jewish king to be paraded around, right? That's a tremendous Chil Hashem. Go back to the 400 kids. I don't know what Avera it was. Maybe it wasn't a big Avera. Maybe it was only a small Avera. That they would be in prostitution in Rome, because after all, it's not Yehar Gal Yavorks, it's not Gilor Arayos, because it's not Chiyuv Misa Bezdin Vikaris. But what would it be if you would have the Shuk of Rome filled with your choice of 400 different brothels filled with Jewish kids? That would be a tremendous Chil Hashem. There would be one living Chil Hashem, right? Maybe the point is that, again, if this sounds similar to my last part, then so be it. Maybe the point is that it's mutter to kill yourself for Chil Hashem. There are very few things that justify suicide, but for Chil Hashem, it's mutter. And that's the svar of Tosfos. Nothing to do with Rav Chanan. Rav Chanan says has to do with the technicality of Har Gal Yavor. It's not that Avodah Zarah and life are tied. Avodah Zarah beats life, therefore you should kill yourself to avoid Avodah Zarah. You should kill yourself to avoid Gilui Arayos. No, it's that for Kiddush Hashem you're allowed to kill yourself. And that Kiddush Hashem might not even be an Avera. In Shoal's case, it wasn't even an Avera. Is it an Avera to be captured by Plishtim and paraded around? No. But it's a terrible Chil Hashem for that to happen. What'll everyone say? It looks awful for that to happen. It's a tremendous bizayon of Kvod Shemayim for that to happen. So maybe that's the point. The point is that Lanias Daiti, I think, is that the Svara is not based on Rabbi Chanan. The Svara is based on the Medrash of Ach. The Medrash of Ach tells us that suicide is usually usher, but it's mutter
mutter for Kiddush Hashem. It's usually usher, but it's mutter for the sake of Kiddush Hashem. And maybe that's really, and then that answers all of Professor Salveich's questions. How can they learn it from the 400 kids that wasn't Yehar Galyaver? How can they learn from Shul that wasn't Yehar Galyaver? Their point wasn't Yehar Galyaver. Their point is Kiddush Hashem. One hechitins of Kiddush Hashem is they capture me and baptize me and make me a Christian. Another example of Kiddush Hashem is if they parade the Jewish king around in their victory parade. And the third example of Kiddush Hashem is if they force Jewish kids into prostitution. It might or might not be a big aveira. But the common denominator is the Chilul Hashem. And basically, my machlokas here is the same as the Vark there. Rabbi Chanan thinks the Svar of Tosus because of the power of the Aveira of the Gimel Aveiros beats your life. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's Pshat and Tosus. I think Pshat and Tosus is because Kiddush Hashem is matter, even suicide in some circumstances, where it really becomes an inyan of Kiddush Hashem. Now, if you want to go further, you could say, if Tosus is really based on the Ach of Shol, but this is going way further. Again, not what I said, I'm not going to say on tape. But maybe you could say, if Tosus is based on the Ach of Shol, then what? Shol's plan B was to kill himself. What was his plan A?
Someone else killed
him. He told someone else to kill him. He refused to, right? So if we assume that what Shol did was mutter, then not only mutter to kill yourself, it's also mutter to kill someone else for Kiddush Hashem. In which case, that could be a hatzdakah for what they did in the Crusades. The only difference is not so poshut, because in Shaul's case, you killed someone else who requested to be killed, right? Meaning, it might have been mutter for his honor spirit to kill me after he requested. That's also in the kinos, right? That the wife told the husband to kill her first and then kill her. Okay, if the person requests, it's not necessarily a raya if the person doesn't request. Let's say they're a little baby and they don't understand. But it could still be a bit of a raya if you're going to go, if you're going to base yourself on Shaul. His plan A was to have someone else kill him. So maybe that shows you can even kill someone else for Kiddush Hashem in drastic circumstances. Okay, it's still a Kiddush, but maybe you could find a mucker for that. Okay, that's what we have to say about the Hargal Yavar aspects of the Asugya. So that ends the first half of Shir. what's so funny? We still have 2 minutes left. Continues the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Rami le Rami le Rav Nachman. Tanan ilu dvarm shad ma'osa osa osa v'ochu bar seim olam zemer kem kem zol olam bava. But there's a lot to do. There's a lot to do. maybe she cancels Vachan. The Karen came as the Lolam Haba. Eilin kibin of Eim Milz Chasad Vashal Meron Lachaver V'tamah Torah Kenei Kulam. How do we know all these things get you payers for Olam Hazeh and to reward Lolam Haba? Kibin of Eim Simlan Yubichin Yomechul Man Yitab Lach. So therefore, the double lashon is one for Olam Hazeh, one for Olam Haba. Gemilas Chasadim says, "Rodev Tzak v'Chesedim Tzachayim v'Tzdaka v'Chavod." That's also a double lashon. The Chayim is for Olam Haba, and the Tzak v'Chavod is Olam Hazeh. Uvava Shalom Ksev Baki Shalom V'Rod Feihu V'Mirabo. That's Redifa Redifa. That it has lashon Redifa and Ksev Hacha Baki Shalom V'Rod Feihu. Ksev Hasam Rodev Tzak v'Chesed. And just like over there, by Milos Chasadim, it was in both worlds. Likewise, the Gzera Shava in Avos Shalom. The Talmud Torah says, "You Chayecha Baruch Yamecha, Chayecha Baruch Yamecha." It's a double lashon, one for Olam Hazeh and one for Olam Haba. The Lord just asks Akasha, "Shiloh HaKanan Iksev L'man Yitav Lach Baruch D'Yamin." Isn't there a double lashon also by Shiloh HaKan? Why is Shiloh HaKan? I mean, it was in the story of Acher. Why is it not in this Mishnah or Tosefta or whatever it is in Peah or Brisa? Right? Shouldn't you get a double reward Shiloh HaKan? Listen, Ami, Ha Tana Bashir. No, they left it out. Tani Tana Elu Dvarmi, Alar Tana Bashir. It says Elu Dvarm, these are the things. You can't say left it out. It says these are the things. It has to list all of them. Rather, I'm a Rava, Rav Edi Asperli, Rav Edi explained to me, Imru Tzadik Yitov Ki Prima Lim Yochelu. Tell a Tzadik that he's good because he'll eat the fruits of his labors. Chi is Tzadik Tov, Yit Tzadik Shem Tov. A Tzadik, because he's good. What do you mean? Is there a good Tzadik and a bad Tzadik? A Tzadik's always good by definition. Hell, a Tov L'Shrayim L'Brios, Deo Tzadik. Tov L'Shrayim V'Ral L'Brios, Deo Tzadik Shem Tov. No, a Tzadik means Benon L'Makom. Tzadik Tov means he's also good men on Lachaveiro. If he's good men on Lamakom and Lachaveiro, that's a Tzadik Tov. If he just does men on Lamakom, but he doesn't do men on Lachaveiro, even if he doesn't kill people, but he doesn't help people, then he's a Tzadik that's not Tov. He's a Tzadik, he did a lot of mitzvos, but he's not Tov, so he doesn't help people, he doesn't bring goodness into the physical world. And likewise, Right? Woe to the bad Russia, because he gets the recompense of his actions. Okay, a Russia Ra is bad bin alokum and bad to the Brios. And a Russia is bad in the lamakum, but helps the people, is a nice guy. He's a Russia, but he's a Russia she'eino ra. Okay, so we see from here, the Gemara seems to say, the unique power of getting a reward in Olam Haba and the interest in that reward in Olam Hazeh only applies to someone who does mitzvos, Ben Adam Lachaveiro. Right? If you just do Ben Adam Lachaveiro, you only get reward in the next world. But if you do the Ben Adam Lachaveiro, then you get reward in this world as well. Why is that? So we'll have to end with this. I'll just chazer something we saw from the Rambam Pirush Mishnayos in Peah. Why is there a difference? So you could say in two ways. One way is to say it's part of Hashem's cheshbon, right? Hashem is so cares about being nice to other people, right? Hashem really wants us to be nice to other people, and therefore, if you only do Ben Adam Lachaveiro, Hashem says I'll reward you in the next world. But if you do Ben Adam Lachaveiro, then that's so great in Hashem's eyes that it rewards you in this world as well. So it's talking about Hashem's dargos of Schar Onesh. The Ram, Pirush Mishnayos and Peah seems to say differently. He says, no, it's not for Hashem. Hashem rewards all the mitzvahs equally, and those are in Olam Haba. What does our Gemara mean? He means naturally. If you do mitzvah in Olam Makom, I get reward in Olam Haba from Hashem, but I don't get any natural reward in this world, because how does that do anything to me? I shake a lulav and sit in the sukkah and I daven. It doesn't give me anything in this world naturally. But if I do an Olam Chaveiro, if I'm nice to people, then I improve society. People are nice to me. We have a nicer chevra. We improve our quality of life. Everyone knows. That's why secular political philosophies say you should have a social contract to be nice to each other, because it improves your life. And therefore, so the Rambam understands this Gemara based on Derech HaTeva, Ben Adam Lachaveiro, B'Teva improves my life. And that's why I get reward in this world as well. But the Pashim Shabbat is, no, it's not the Derech HaTeva. It's theological. That theologically, Hashem is machshiv Ben Adam Lachaveiro so much, He rewards everything. And the next world is really Iker, because it's eternal, and this world is short. But nonetheless, He's machshiv Ben Adam Lachaveiro one darga up, that He rewards you for it in this world as well. We have just one, the one kasha I'll just mention. They ask in 2 seconds. They all ask, what doesn't fit into this list? And by the way, what's the deal? Rashi says, tzadik ki tov ki prima leim yochevu. Only a tzadik who's tov gets the payros in this world. Tzadik who's not tov only gets the next world. Okay, what one mitzvah doesn't fit in this list of Ben Adam Lachaveiro? How does Talmud Torah fit into Ben Adam Lachaveiro? So here there are three answers. The Rambam Pirush Mishnayos says, because the Talmud Torah teaches you how to do all the mitzvot, including Ben Adam Lachaveiro. Talmud Torah is Ben Adam Lachaveiro, because you learn to be a nice person. The more Torah you learn, the more you learn mitzvot to help your friends. Okay, so he says, Talmud Torah teaches you to do Gemilas Chasadim and Vav Shalom. And that's why it's Keneged Kulam, because they teach you to do Havas Shalom, and says a Shigulim no Dilemi. How is Talmud Torah Ben Adam Lachaveiro? Because if you learn Torah, okay, story of my life. What happens when you learn a little Torah? All of a sudden, people start asking you questions all the time, right? They always ask you for help. What's the halach in this case? What's the halach in that case? And he says, even if you don't become a rabbi, once people hear that you know a little Torah, they start asking you shilas anyway. They stop you in the supermarket and ask you shilas, right? If you're a big Torah and you move to Albuquerque, people stop you in the supermarket and start asking you halachic shilas. When I used to work in Wall Street, people would ask me halachic shilas all the time. I was just a little kid working on Wall Street, but I had a yarmulke and tzitzis, so they started asking me halachic shilas. So he says, the Ben Adam Lachaveiro is you answer people's shilas. That's also helping people. You don't have to help people get money. You can also help people lead their religious lives in a happier and more fulfilling way, and a more beneficial way. Okay, that's the second answer. The Maharal, that I put in brackets in the Sefer Tiferes Yisrael, and many, many Balei Machshava say a third way. They say no. What do the Rambam Shigul only have in common? Talmud Torah has to fit into the Adam Lachaveiro. Just how do you fit it in? The Rambam this way, and the Shigul only that way. Says Maharal, no, it's not Ben Adam Lachaveiro. Talmud Torah is purely Ben Adam Makom. But it's better than Ben Adam Lachaveiro. Why? What's unique about Ben Adam Lachaveiro? He says that besides doing a mitzvah, it creates payros. It creates good results. He says, you know what? One way of creating good results is to do Ben Adam Lachaveiro. Another way of creating good results is to learn Torah. Because if you learn Torah, you create lots of good results. On one level, because Talmud, maybe the Maisa,
it brings the whole Torah to fruition, but he says even on a deeper level. Learning Torah, the whole world exists in the course of learning Torah. The whole world is because of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is the engine that drives the whole world. Therefore, of course, if you learn Torah, you get Paris and Olam Hazen. Not because Ben Olam Chaviro. Because it's better than Ben Olam Chaviro. Because Talmud Torah actually gives the whole world its existence. And therefore, it makes Peros in this world. Haval Shalom makes Peros that people are happy. Talmud Torah makes Peros that the whole world is based on Talmud Torah. And therefore, since it makes Peros in this world, you get rewarded in this world as well. Okay, so that's a bit of my focus about how to see the role of Talmud Torah here. We'll have to continue, Ramat Hashem, next time. Okay.